el concesionario Toyota número uno en Houston, Fred Haas Toyota World, donde los compradores de vehículos buscan la mejor experiencia de compra. Todo en el idioma que hablas y prefieres. Nuestro personal de habla hispana puede ayudarte en cada departamento. Ventas, servicio e incluso financiación. Ahora mismo, compra nuestra mejor selección de Toyotas nuevos y vehículos usados. Además, obtén una garantía gratuita de por vida para el motor. Fred Haas Toyota World.
No incluye impuesto, título, licencia y tarifa del distribuidor $250. Garantía en importaciones específicas. Se aplican exclusiones.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Meet Viant AI, the world's first fully autonomous advertising platform. With Viant AI, you can automate media planning, analyze results, and drive smarter decisions, all while saving you time and resources. Viant AI helps you unlock new potential and boost productivity regardless of your expertise. Visit Viant.ai today and see how the future of artificial intelligence in advertising can work for you.
Get ready for the Katy Rice Harvest Festival. Join us in downtown historic Katy on October 12th and 13th for 2 days of fun, music, and more. Experience live acts featuring Stoney LaRue and Little Texas. Bring the family and enjoy vendors, food, attractions, and plenty of kids' activities. All proceeds go to local student scholarships. Mark your calendars for October 12th and 13th. Get your tickets online at katyriceharvestfestival.com.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
When the senses have...
Live on this Monday morning of some really, really historic news coming out of this weekend. I have literally been getting blown up in emails and Twitter, now Telegram. I'm going to be talking about the all-new Brush Beater Telegram channel for the Radio Recon group that we have launched, and I'm going to be talking about that a little bit later in the episode. But unprecedented times that we're living in case you have been living under a rock, the president, and this has long been speculated, but the current president of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden, has allegedly penned a letter not using the President of the United States official seal, not the White House office official seal. This is very suspect, but saying that he's declining to run and that he is going to be dropping out of the race. He's going to finish out his term through January. So he will be the president going through the election, supposedly, and that he will be not seeking a second term. So very unprecedented here. Kind of the Lyndon Baines Johnson type vibes here. I had to clear my throat for this one. Because, man, oh man, there are some strange oddities that are coming out of this. Of course, you know, last week into the weekend, we had the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. And he, you know, we literally came within millimeters of a very, very bad path But as I'm going to break down in this episode, I think that we're still on track for that, and I'm going to explain why. This is we're in some very, very dangerous waters here, folks. And I'm going to just give you the quick and dirty, the bottom line up front. Today, you need to be doubling down on getting what you can afford, shoring up those supplies that you have already on hand. You need to be making that assessment today. And I'm not telling you that because, you know, I am in the business of all that. Look, I'm telling you right now, I got into the business of selling prepper supplies because they came to me. Okay, but that's another story. The point is that you need to be getting yourself better prepared today because we're about to see some things go down. I kind of held my fire on the and was very cautious about a lot of the speculation surrounding Biden. You know, we've known that he's in a severe state of cognitive decline. That is, you know, absolutely no question regarding that. But it was also equally obvious that other people were running the show and that the decorum, at least, and the presentation that he was running things, kind of a weekend at Bernie's, we're going to prop him up, that they were going to continue this through the election cycle, that they were going to at least keep up the appearances of normalcy, to not scare the masses, not freak everybody out. Well, hey, this is just business as normal. And then 25th Amendment him after the election. And that is assuming, of course, he'd win the election. And that's a whole other conversation that I'm going to be diving into a little bit as well. But they're not even doing that now. I think that the Democrats in some way, shape, or form have jumped the gun on this one. But that remains to be seen. That remains to be seen. This is a very, very unprecedented time in which we are living right now. And I'm telling you, this is what I'm doing today. Okay. I'm shoring up my own supplies, making that assessment and seeing where the holes are in my own equipment and doubling down on that today. Okay. Today. And I know what some of those are. It's going to be very expensive. I was putting off some things because it's, you know, it's pretty deep investment on some of the stuff that I'm doing. One of them is a really large diesel fuel tank. That's been a glaring hole in my own supplies for a while now. Having a large source of fuel to have on hand. But, you know, that is what it is. That's something I can remedy. It is myself this week. It's very expensive. It's going to be expensive to do. But, you know, I've pretty much everything I own runs off of one common fuel. And, you know, I can run my tractors, I can run my trucks, all of my equipment. You know, the only thing I've got side-by-sides that, and you know, ATV that runs off of gas, but, you know, gas is, I don't think that gas is going to be in a massive short supply, but anyway, I'm jumping the gun here. The thing is that we are in very unprecedented times with exactly what they've done with the president. There is a question right now, where even is Joe Biden? It's looking pretty obvious based on his resignation from the the election, because let's be very clear here. He resigned or is declining to seek re-election. He has not resigned from the president or from the office of the president, rather. So with that said, and in, you know, putting this together, this letter is incredibly odd, and there is no real statements that are being made that are coming from the White House. There's really nothing. And it was said that Biden was going to address the nation. He did not. There's absolutely no explanation of this. The mainstream media is reeling on their heels right now. And we're kind of just left in the dark. Everybody's left in the dark. This has catastrophic implications on the global scale, folks. In analyzing all of our foreign media outlets, whether that's Russia Today, Al Arabiya, Al Jazeera, the Jerusalem Post being, you know, chief among them to get a better view of what's going on in the world, Xinhua as well, so Chinese state media, they're all also in the dark. And reading their editorials, glossing over their editorials yesterday, is very telling of where the rest of the world is looking at the United States right now. We look like a basket case with all the nuclear weapons. Okay? All nuclear weapons, we look like a basket case. And one thing is absolutely for sure here, people. One thing is absolutely for sure. We look unstable. And the people who are running the show for the United States, the unelected bureaucracy, these people who have been in Biden's inner circle, whoever they may be, are desperate to hold on to power. They have that power in their hands. They're desperate to hold on to that power. And they are going to do anything in their power to hold on to it. Very, very scary times. Very unprecedented times. And on that note, not only does this have massive foreign implications in terms of trade and economics, I believe that long-term, this is going to expedite the shift away from the petrodollar and towards BRICS. But they have also repeatedly made it very clear that you and I are their enemy. They have made it very, very clear that you and I are their enemy. That literally, anyone who does not agree with their policies, anyone who does not toe the line of their brand of governance, and I don't know how anybody in their right mind could, but this is what they believe, that you and I are the enemy. They've already branded us that. They've already shown that they have a propensity for coming after us, for putting people in prison, right? Literally, J6. There are still J6 political prisoners. And they have also shown, on that note, that they don't care about rule of law. Rule of law is little more to these people than power. They don't care what the rules are. They don't care about the constraints to their own reach, to their own power. It doesn't matter to these people. All that matters is that you and I are crushed under their boot. That's it. And so with that said, we have an absentee president. We've had an absentee president for a while, but they're not even hiding it anymore. This is a very, very scary turn of events, folks. And I I think that American history is being made in the process. We're coming off of one candidate who is wildly popular, nearly being killed. Donald John Trump was nearly assassinated. We've got the Republican National Convention that was, by and large, a massive success. The Democrats are in complete shambles. You have a communist arm of the Democrat Party who is very, very adamant about going to war with the liberal arm and the neoliberal arm of the Democrat Party by their own statements. Okay, by their own statements. And so we are in a very, very precarious situation. All eyes are going to be on Chicago here soon. And I think that we're going to see some massive fireworks coming out of that as well. But that is another topic for another day. So we've got Representative Boebert out of Colorado. Whatever you happen to think about her here, there, it doesn't really matter. But she is now demanding proof of life on Joe Biden. This was posted to X this morning, demanding that we have proof of life on the current president of the United States, that we need it by 5 p.m. today. We have Speaker Johnson yesterday who was saying that, Biden either needs to prove that he is mentally competent or he must resign immediately from the presidency. And of course, we have the vice president, Kamala Harris, who has made no statements as of now, but there are a lot of Democrats who are lining up to support her. Now, there are some questions to her legitimacy to become president. She is a natural born citizen of the United States, but her parents were not. And so, this is a pretty serious implication here as well. If she's not eligible to run, then who is it going to be? But I would venture to guess that they wouldn't be so quick to throw support on somebody who is ineligible to run in totes. That just doesn't seem right to me. But again, we're living with people who are running the country right now who don't really care about what the rule of law actually is. It's whatever they say it is. They rule through raw power. Okay? Period. End of story. They rule through raw power. And that's all they care about. They made it patently obvious over and over again that this is all that they care about. And they're willing to crush anyone who has a competing viewpoint. Anyone who has any real claim to legitimacy, they're ready to crush them through brute force. And so, again, I'm telling you that this is the most dangerous time right now that I have ever seen in my lifetime. And this is even after in the post 9/11 era right now. Now, there's a lot of conspiracy theories that are going on about the plan was that Trump was supposed to get shot and they were going to replace Biden. They're rolling right along with the plan. And hey, and that may or may not be true. Okay. I don't know. And I don't have any sort of leverage or sources of information that you don't also have. I'm just telling you the way that I see it in my assessment of what's going on. So you just take that at face value. But I do know this, they're scrambling and these people who are running things right now don't give a damn about you or I and any chance that they get to assert power, they're going to continue to do so. And they don't care who they hurt. They don't care who they kill in the process. And I would be at this point I would say that all options for them retaining power are off the table. Or on the table, rather. They are going to pull out all of the stops. I used to think that them pulling back the curtain, ripping the curtain back to such a degree that it freaked out, you know, even the most normie of the normies, right? But that was not possible. They're not going to do that because it would literally create a stampede. I think that we're past that point. I think I was wrong that they're absolutely going to do that because they're doing that now. I used to think just last week that canceling the elections, right? Because the election is just a show of normalcy. You know, it's very much, we've had two elections now where they have really shown us that they don't care about who casts what ballot, it's who counts them. And of course, now we have people like Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan who say that this is illegal to even question the integrity of an election, to even request a recount. So, with that said, they've ripped back that curtain. I think that, you know, it's not off the table to say that they are going to suspend, that they may very well suspend habeas corpus, the rule of law. Oh, well, their version of the rule of law. They're going to maintain it. And that they would cancel the elections. Just last week, I thought that they're not going to do that because that would create a stampede. Now I'm not so sure. Now I am not so sure. I pray that they don't do that. Now I'm not so sure. I think that something else is absolutely imminent. They know that Kamala Harris is a historically unpopular person. That's why she's literally been an absentee vice president for a long period of time now. They never rolled her out. They're trying to do the charm offensive with her. She had a few stops here in North Carolina, trying to shore up the black vote, which is just not working. They do not like her. They absolutely do not like Kamala Harris. She's an unlikable person. She is an unlikable person, but not only that is she an unlikable person, she has an awful record as a prosecutor that she cannot run from. She has a very unpopular record, contemporarily, politically unpopular record, as a prosecutor, as the Attorney General in California, that she cannot hide from. She absolutely cannot hide from. And I'm telling you that they do not like her at all. But they painted themselves into a corner now where they have to run someone. And this is assuming that they don't just flip the entire script now. They flip the game board and say, you know, we're done playing raw power. That's it. And tell me that they wouldn't do that. Tell me that they wouldn't do that. I believe that they will. I contend that they will. Because what's stopping them now? Right.
In the dynamic world of programmatic ad buying, Viant is your ultimate CTV partner. Target with precision. Buy with confidence. Viant empowers you with AI-driven technology that reaches your audience where they engage most, ensuring your message hits home. And the campaign results? Transparent, thanks to Viant's advanced measurement suite. For media buyers who demand the best, Viant delivers. Viant, elevate your CTV campaign performance.
They know. One of the things that they absolutely know, and I'm going to give credence to my central thesis here, more so than I already have. The gaslighting that they have been doing on the judicial branch. The liberals, the Democrats, have been racking up losses left and right. And you name the topic, right? The Chevron decision was huge for the bureaucratic state, at crushing the bureaucratic state and dismantling the unelected bureaucracy. And of course, a lot of people don't really understand the implications of the Chevron decision, but I'm going to give you the quick and dirty on that. The unelected bureaucracy that, you know, we all know and love, the EPA, the ATF, these regulatory agencies who were levying regulations with the power of law and with the implications, the punishment of law. And in many cases with these agencies, the process was the punishment. If anybody's ever had to deal with one of these agencies, been on the wrong end of it, you know exactly what I mean. The Chevron decision is breaking that down. Well, you had all the other decisions that have been made. You know, Firearms Policy Coalition has been racking up the wins left and right. They're rolling back these unconstitutional gun laws. We're seeing the victories happening in the courts, regardless of the fact that they've tried to stack the deck. The liberals have tried to stack the deck with literally controlling all of the law schools. They first controlled the institutions that create the whole legal judicial process. And now that that has faltered, they know, okay, the jig is up. The Supreme Court, if Donald Trump gets another term in office, the Supreme Court is going to be dominated by conservatives for good, right? For good, for the foreseeable future, for the next generation of politics. They can't have that, okay? For their bureaucratic state revolution that they've had going on, they can't have that. So that's one of the reasons that this fight has been going on. A lot of people have speculated, you know, well, they need World War III. I contend that they actually don't. I disagree with that hypothesis very strongly. What they need is another forever war. Okay, the benefactors of the military-industrial complex need another forever war. That's what they want. They want the troops on the ground to not be Americans. They want them to be an expendable proxy, which is what they did in Libya. This is what they did in Syria. This is what they did in Ukraine. This is what they attempted to do in Yemen repeatedly. They have failed, and that backfired very epically with the Houthis. But this is what we're seeing, okay? They're not going to get that. And the rest of the world has awakened to this reality, and they are moving away from that. And they're turning on that. The American people have turned on that. Regardless of politics, generally speaking, they are turning on that. They're turning these people off. Democrat Party became the party of the endless war. That's why they don't like MAGA. Okay, that's why they don't like Make America Great Again. That's why they don't like them, because they're bad for business. We're bad for business. Okay. So with each one of these, this nebulous of threat vectors that are all out there, where they converge and their focal point here is the upcoming election. And it is one that they know that they can't win. Not only that, their assassination attempt failed. The only move that they have left, and I also contend that they're not going to be able to cheat their way out of this one. You shouldn't rest on your laurels, by the way. Donald Trump is historically popular, but he was very popular last time that he ran. Keep that in mind. It doesn't mean by any means that you need to be taking a victory lap here. Instead, I contend the opposite. I contend the exact opposite on this. Right now, you need to have your guard up more than ever. And I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you once more, you need to be shoring up your own supplies right now. You need to be looking at, you know, how can I double down on my own preparedness right now? How can I be better networked with my neighbors tomorrow than I am today? You need to be making that assessment right now, today. Because I'm telling y'all, I got a bad feeling about this, that all bets are off right now. All bets are off on this. It's a dangerous time in which we are entering. There's a ton of uncertainty about this. We don't know where the sitting president of the United States is. The same president of the United States and his apparatus has repeatedly labeled us as enemies. We have a blatant assassination attempt. Senator Ron Johnson's preliminary report is out. You can read that on AmericanPartisan.org. And it's not looking good for them. Okay. The whole scenario that went into that is bad. And so if they're willing to go these lengths, what else are they going to do? I think that this was the opening salvo of something much, much more serious. And so you need to be prepared to at least ride that storm out until normalcy is restored. Okay. And understand, folks, that power doesn't just exist in a vacuum. The order will restore itself at some point, but you need to be ready for that intermediate time period. And I think that that's the disconnect that a lot of people get lost in the minutia, in the search engine optimization, if you will. That's what a lot of people get lost in. You need to be ready because the sides are going to be coalescing here very soon, and that's what you need to get yourself prepared for. You have a duty, by the way. You have a duty to be as best prepared in all aspects, physically, mentally, and equipment-wise, to be an asset, however you can be, by the way. You know, I think one of the, as a little aside, I think one of the most toxic elements of the prepper, survivalist community, whatever you want to call it, has been this focus on isolationism. That's just, I don't think that's realistic, ever has been. But, you know, that, again, could be an interesting conversation for another day. But either way, the fact remains, unprecedented dangerous time right now, and you need to be getting yourself better prepared for all of that. Of course, a lot of stuff that we have, full restock, night vision thermal, freeze-dried food, everything, you name it, communications equipment over at brushbeater.store. So shifting gears a little bit, originally what I wanted to talk about in this episode, had an awesome weekend, you know, touching grass. It's not very often that I get a weekend off to where I'm not training anybody. I'm not traveling. I'm not running classes, which, believe me, I have the best job in the world. Just going to go on and say it, going to throw that out there. I have the best job in the world. I absolutely love it. Anybody that's ever come to a class knows that I literally have too much fun doing what I do. And, you know, it's awesome. But one of the detriments to doing what I do for a living is you very rarely have a lot of free time. You just don't have, and if you do have a lot of free time as a trainer, then you're not real successful at being a trainer, but that's another conversation. Business is booming, and that's a good thing. Always a good thing. And it's great to be able to interact with all of us out there. And you know, by the way, like, very, we dive into a lot of the doom and gloom stuff. You know, yeah, we're living in unprecedented times, but we're also living in awesome times. You were born for this era, by the way. Every one of us that's living and breathing right now, doing stuff, you were born to live in this era for a reason. And so rise to the occasion, folks. Rise to that occasion. But, you know, I got to do this weekend. I got to have a really good time reconnecting with close friends who, you know, as you grow up, as you become an adult, you know, when I was a kid, hanging out with all my friends, having a great time, you know, you seeing them every weekend, just getting rowdy, you know, and just doing all the things, man, living by the seat of your pants. And one of the things that was neat with my parents when I was growing up was that, you know, we had a real tight-knit community. You know, living in a real tight-knit community where everybody knew everybody, everybody spent a lot of time around one another, and you know, every weekend it was there was a party somewhere, you know, and I'm not talking about like rowdy debauchery or anything like that, but just a really good time. Somebody was having a cookout, you know, somebody was having a get together. We were riding horses. We, you know, you had that. We had that, and it was so much fun. And if you came up in a community like that, you know how valuable it is. And I didn't, growing up, I didn't really think too much about it because it was normal to me, and it, you know, it definitely shaped, helped shape my personality. In seeking that all the time and really enjoying it and valuing that because it was just awesome. You know, it was just a it was a great time. But one thing that I realized is that as my parents got older, as they advanced in age, and I noticed, you know, a lot of that social interaction kind of dropped off. And it did with everybody, you know, and it wasn't because people just magically quit doing it. There was still plenty of people that were doing it. They were just younger. And as you got older and you got kids, you kind of just migrate away from the herd, you know, and you focus on family and you focus on your job and you become more career oriented. And this became a whole area of study in sociology, the family sociology, you know, how, the developmental theories that are out there of, you know, how we develop socially and we end up splitting off. And there's a lot of is an interesting rabbit hole that you can go down with that. But that said, you know, I realize like as I get older, there's a lot of parallels there to that. You end up focusing on your career. And I did it a lot earlier, really focusing on job and developing my business and everything that I've got going on. But you know, and it's neither here nor there, but it just is. But when you do get that off chance to hang out with good friends and family, by the way, had some family out with me too over this weekend, who I got to reconnect with and you know, hadn't spent a lot of time around him in many, many years and was able to do that. And we just had a blast. And what we were doing was we put together a big coyote hunt. And, you know, what we were going to do was guys brought their stuff, brought their weapons, you know, except for one guy who literally just didn't have anything. You know, he's duck hunter, deer hunter. But coyote hunting was something that he really hadn't done a lot of and was just wanting to do it. You know, hey, this is just a new challenge. Let's get into it. Well, this is an excellent training opportunity. And it's an excellent training opportunity on a lot of levels. You know, one of them is equipment-wise. How do you supply these guys? How do you know, support dudes who, you know, everybody who's going hunting with me, all personal friends and family, and not wealthy, you know, not wealthy guys. They all blue collar and working, you know, got houses, got car payments, got kids. You know, you don't have a lot of money left over at the end of the week, you know, between paychecks. And so one of the reasons that I got into selling night vision and thermal, and I made that jump into it, and I was talking to another really good friend of mine last night, veteran buddy, and I spent a lot of time in the dirt with him, and we had this conversation about entrepreneurship, and it was just an awesome just an awesome thing. But one of the reasons I got into becoming a night vision and thermal dealer was to be able to supply everybody else around me with that equipment. And that's the real reason that I got into it. And the business just took off, by the way, thanks to y'all. You know, thanks to this incredible audience and thanks to God. But it took off like a rocket. But the real reason I got into it was to supply guys around me, to have extra equipment on hand at a rate that I could afford as well. And you know, I can afford to do that and be able to supply people around me in my community. And doing a coyote hunt, you know, we don't have a hog infestation problem here. And I'm glad we don't, by the way, because they're bad. But that's another great training opportunity for this. Coyotes, we've got coyotes everywhere here. They have run roughshod on it. It's similar problem to the hog infestation, you know, in Texas and in the deep south. You know, here we did have a problem with them once upon a time, but they got trapped out. And, you know, the tobacco industry came down on them with a vengeance. And, you know, Eastern North Carolina still has a pretty good population of feral swine. But that, you know, Johnston County especially, that's another conversation. But it's a great training opportunity. It's a great training opportunity. How do you supply other guys with that equipment? How do you employ them? You know, because you're not effectively hunting if you're just all in one spot. You know, you have to disperse guys, and you're doing it at night, so you're getting everybody kind of out of their comfort zone. You're trying to use weather to your advantage. I'm going to be talking about that point here in a minute. But really, it's getting guys hands-on familiarization time with equipment that they didn't previously have. And so what we did was I took an Armosite, the Jockey 640, which is the clip-on, and I put that on one of my weapons. I had an Armosite clip-on night vision, which is pretty much a PVS-30. It's kind of their version of a PVS-30. Really good piece of gear, and it is a white phosphor, by the way. Really, really happy with that thing. Put that on. I've got a Palmetto State Saber that's a Mark 12 clone. Put that on there. And so I was running that in conjunction with an ACOG. Very good setup. Had a dedicated night vision scope. It was the AGM Wolverine 4, which is a 4-power. I have green phosphor and a white phosphor. A very close friend of mine, somebody I consider to be a brother, as a Raider in the Marine Corps a few years back. He got out a couple of years before I did. Deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan, just as solid as they come. Hooked him up with one of the green phosphor ones. He had been after buying a night vision scope for a while now, and got one of those, mounted that on one of his custom rifles that he's had for a number of years now. So, you know, and then finally, AGM Rattler put that on another rifle that was running a Havasun 403 red dot. So we've got two night vision scopes, or two weapons equipped with night vision, clip on and a dedicated scope, and then two thermal clip-ons. So we broke down into two buddy teams, went to two ends of overwatching one of my bait spots where the coyotes have been hitting it real hard. Went to one of the local grocery stores here, picked up a giant box of beef fat and beef trimmings off of steaks, got it 100% free. I've been using that as bait. It's been very effective. Especially when it breaks down in the hot and humid weather, you know, coyotes just, they get all over that. But, you know, utilizing night vision on half of our equipment, utilizing thermal on the other half. So we've got the really the best of both worlds, right? Broke down into buddy teams. We've got Intersect and Fire. So, you know, myself and my buddy that was in the Marine Corps, we went to separate ends of the field, and the other two guys that were with us, they tagged along. And so we had an equal dispersal of experience in terms of employing guys at night and, you know, kind of the gunfighter aspect to it. We also had equal dispersal of our equipment. So a couple of little training notes that I'm going to throw in here. Observing with thermal and night vision is, they're two very different worlds, and they're both must have pieces of equipment. If I didn't think so, I wouldn't have them. And having weapons mounted equipment is really its own conversation, because when most people think of night vision, they think about, you know, PVS-14s, or they think about something that you can wear on your head. And that's for movement. That's really, you know, observation, you know, on the move. Obviously, that's critically important. In a firefight on the move, like in the tactical sense, you absolutely have to have that at night. You know, no question about it. But once you're static, once you're in, you know, what we would have called back, you know, when I was in the Army and, you know, doing all the tactical shit, we would have called that the Overwatch role, you know, or the static surveillance role, like in hindsight. And at that point, you're mounting something to your weapon. All right. That's where that comes in. So I want to talk about a couple of things here. I will frequently get conversations started about clip-on versus dedicated scope when it comes to whether that's night vision or thermal. You know, a lot of guys that are in the hunting world will reach out, and that's kind of their paradigm they're coming from. And I totally understand, and that's my mindset when it comes to a lot of the enablers as well, is that's really a strong way to go. I lean towards a dedicated scope versus a clip-on, but most people will buy clip-ons. And the reason that they do this is they already have their dedicated scope, day scope, on their weapon, you know, whatever it is, especially on the AR-15, and they just want something to add to that setup. They're already comfortable with it. They already have their data on that. They know, you know, the bullet drop calculations. They got all their dope, the data on previous engagement. They have all that. And so they're looking to add something to that weapon, specifically those capabilities. And so they're going to add a clip-on to it. And, hey, awesome. Like, that's, you know, that's what we were doing out there. But there's a couple of drawbacks to that setup. One of them is you have now another focal plane that you've added. And so there's minimal point of impact shift due to the excellent American Defense Manufacturing mount that comes with both the Armasite and AGM. They make them for both of them, and they come with them out of the package. They're excellent, okay? And you have minimal point of impact shift on that. But you still need to get out there and make sure, all right? There's going to be a small shift. You need to get out there and make sure that you know what that is. That's called collimating. And making sure that you know when I'm running this optic what that shift is and accounting for it, whatever it is. And if there isn't any, hey, cool. That's awesome. But you do need to make sure that you know what that is. Here's the other thing, and I think that's not really that big of a deal. You can get out of the range, whatever. Not a big deal. The other thing, though, weather last weekend, you know, hot, humid, summertime, North Carolina, and we're in that weather pattern right now where we get a lot of afternoon storms. So the humidity level has kind of hit its peak, and that's when you're going to get a lot of rain in the afternoon, and it's hot as all get out. you know, 100 degrees during the day, humidity's peaked, and it's not fun weather to be out working, right? But when you're running a clip-on, so at night, normally between the hours of about, we'll say 11 to about 1 in the morning, you're going to get real dense fog in your river bottoms. So river bottoms, creek bottoms, anywhere where there's a lot of humidity and that humidity and condensation really collects down there. And that's also where your coyotes are going to be. Like, that's where they hang out. You're going to get heavy, dense fog at the ground level. And so when you do that, you're going to, you know, your optics are going to fog up, number one. That's just going to happen. Now, there's easy remedies to this, but your optics, the glass itself is going to fog up. And now, when you had a dedicated scope that only has two pieces of glass, now you have four pieces of glass you got to keep defogged. And so that became an issue for me personally when I was running Armsite Jockey. I kept having to take it off, wipe it off, apply some anti-fog on it. I've got the little drops, and then put it back on there. And it would be good for about an hour or so, and then all of a sudden it'd start fogging up again. That's just how thick it was. The other thing is that dense fog with thermal, a lot of your commercial thermal that's out there, with the exception of the AGM Clarion, by the way, which it fog's still detrimental to it, but not as bad. I'm going to talk about why in a second. But it really messes up your sight picture. So whatever you're observing, you're not going to get a clear view of it. So it becomes a problem. The same is true with night vision. And so while night vision wasn't as severely affected by it, it still messed up the ability to observe out to distance. So for example, we had some deer pop out that kind of were just curious. They could obviously smell us by their behavior. They popped out. I could see them, and they were probably about 350 meters or so from my position. I could see their heat signature, and I could tell by the way they were moving and their height that they were deer. But because of the fog, that was about all I could see. I really couldn't get positive identification on them other than that, and that was because of the fog. Swapped off with the Armasite night vision clip-on, took a look through that, and all of a sudden, you know, I could tell, oh, that's deer, right? You know, the fog didn't affect that as bad. So it is, again, this is something just to consider. This is something to think about, what your personal needs are. Now, with a dedicated night vision scope, the best results that we had were from the dedicated night vision scope. In this case, it was the AGM Wolverine 4. That one was very easy to zero. We zeroed that on the fly. Just, you know, laser bore sight, had a really good laser bore sight, by the way, got it dialed in 50 meters. There's a bullet drop compensator that's built into the reticle on that. That was the old PSO reticle. Plug that into a ballistic calculator and bam, you know, you got your dope right there, or roughly what your dope is going to be on it. And we did that on the fly. It was kind of an ad hoc deal. Obviously, you'd want to go confirm that data at night on the targets, but hey, you know, we're coyote hunting and we're primarily out there to have a good time. And, you know, it was just like, hey, man, let's get this thing dialed in real quick. With a thermal scope, it's a little more difficult to do on the fly. It's certainly not hard zeroing a thermal scope, but there's another step involved to it. With a night vision scope, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, if you can zero your standard day optic, a analog night vision scope is the exact same. It's just got an image intensifier tube in there built into it. So, you know, interestingly enough, that one even though it was still affected by fog, it had the best results out of everything because the glass on it just didn't fog up and you weren't adding a new thing to it. So something that Carl Erickson over at Tactical Rifleman was talking about with Chris Weatherman, and we were having a conversation about this as well. I've had this a few times on a few shows that I've done, but I was talking about this with Terrence Pop as well over on Colonel Murray's show, where we were talking about dedicated scopes, whether they were thermal or night vision, to go on an AR-15 upper or even, you know, an AR-10 upper. You know, just pick your caliber of choice, but having a dedicated upper with that dedicated scope on it makes things a lot easier, the zeroing a lot easier, and, you know, I'm a big fan of that. Clip-ons are obviously awesome. If you want the general purpose tool that kind of does everything, it's like a Swiss Army knife. It's not the optimum tool for any one thing, but it is the kind of the do-all general purpose item. Hey, clip-ons are really where it's at. But if you're looking to go dedicated, right, this is, I want the simplest setup, I want to set it and forget it. I'm telling you, having a dedicated scope, whether that's night vision or thermal, that's really going to be the, you know, what you want to look for. And so I just wanted to pass that along because it was a great opportunity to get out, to test our gear, to have a really damn good time while we were doing it. I mean, we had an absolute blast. And once we came out of the bottom, you know, we ran a couple iterations down there. Once we came out of the bottom, going back, I mean, you know, anybody that's ever been in a deer camp, you know, on a hunting lease or whatever, knows that's the hunt is fun, but the times you have with all the boys in the camp, that's really where the memories are made. And this time was no different, man. We had an absolute blast. And what's so cool about it is that you're getting out, touching grass, running your equipment, learning those lessons, you know, because we can read about it all day on the internet. You can hear podcasts like this one. You know, you can listen to all the things. You can look at all the specs. But there's no replacement for real-world knowledge, real world experience that you gain through doing. And there is, you know, I I'll stand by that statement. Anybody that's ever done it knows that is what we do. That's the point behind what we do. And you know, it's fun, man. It's an absolute blast. So one last thing, it was a point that I was getting to and I didn't quite make it, was the one exception to that, the fog really playing a detrimental role on thermal is the AGM Clarion. And that's because of the heat sensor. The heat sensor is so damn good on that thing. It surpasses anything else that's currently on the market. And it really, really works. The reason I wasn't running one of those, I've got two currently in the inventory. I've got a 640 and I've got a 384 in my own personal inventory. But the reason I didn't do that is I've been using those as observation tools, and I pulled one off of the rifle that it was on because I was doing some promotional work with it and didn't get a chance to re-zero it. I just haven't had time. In retrospect, that really would have been the ideal setup to have down there. And, you know, if you're looking to have a dedicated thermal, let's say a AR-15 upper or a rifle that is dedicated for low light conditions or a thermal optic, man, I'm telling you, that AGM Clarion, that one is the ticket. And fog generally has a minimal effect on that one. So, you know, it still does affect it, but it's not as bad as some of the other things that don't have quite as good of a heat sensor that's out there. Maybe some of the older technology. But anyway, I wanted to pass along some of that knowledge. A lot of great training. Training doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be a formal class, folks. It's just getting out there. It's just running your equipment. It's finding every opportunity to do so. And you need to be doing that. You need to be getting out there and doing that. You need to be, you know, don't be that guy. As James Wesley Rawls has said for many, many years now, for decades now, don't be that guy who just has a bunch of stuff and never uses it. You know, just having a hammer doesn't make you a carpenter. Think about that. There's a lot of wisdom in that statement. Get out there and run your gear. Get out there and get that training. You know, and don't be that guy, too, who, you know, well, I ain't getting that stuff because it's too damn expensive. Well, you know, I get all that. But in the land of the blind, one-eyed man's king, right? Just something to think about. Again, folks, we're living in very unprecedented times right now. I think probably the most dangerous time, at least since 9/11. I think probably worse right now in a large number of ways. You need to be shoring up where you are right now. If you have questions on anything that we've got at brushbeater.store, feel free to reach out to me, ncscout@brushbeater.org. Keep your heads on a swivel because I think this week is going to be very, very interesting for all the wrong reasons. Folks, God bless. Stay safe. I'll talk to you again very, very soon. NC Scout out.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.